Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Tell all your friends about me.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
It's not college basketball. It's Clarence
time! Let's get ready to rumble! Freedom of fire is something rare. It's my son only know how.
Hey, what is up, Friday Nighters? Welcome back to another edition, another episode of Just Another Friday Night. I am one of your two hosts, CM Chuck.
And CM Cal.
That's CM Cal, guys, joining us here. Live, AA is taking the night off. He has had a long and busy day, and so he said, you guys go ahead and run it for tonight. I would have probably taken the night off too, but we denied you guys an episode last week, so we definitely didn't want to do that this week, so here we are, doing our best to kind of squeeze it in. I don't have a room specifically dedicated to podcasting like Double A does, so we always try to make do with what we have here when we can. Sam and Cal, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
How was your week?
Meh.
Meh? Okay, all right. Well, we'll take meh for now. Who we got in the comments so far, Sam and Cal?
Toy Mafia.
Toy Mafia in the house. What is up, Toy Mafia? We appreciate you guys being here. Thanks for joining us. CM Cal, I normally ask this of AA, but I ask him to adrenalize me and fill me in on any news that may have happened this week. Was there any news that specifically stuck out to you this week that you wanted to discuss in the world of pop culture?
None that really comes to mind at the moment. I can't remember anything. Okay. There was a huge collaboration with Fortnite and Star Wars.
That's right. That's right. We got some new skins coming out. I just saw the trailer, but I didn't get to check it out on the game yet. I'll probably check it out after we get
Oh, they added lightsaber boost to Lego mode.
Oh, okay. Is that the first time they've had that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool. I always love when they put lightsabers back in the game. And yes, it is May the 3rd, so tomorrow will be May the 4th. So we want to say, May the 4th be with you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what are we doing tomorrow that's kind of fun for May the 4th?
We're rewatching The Phantom Menace in theaters.
Yeah, and it'd be your first time experiencing it in theater, right? Okay, yeah. And that's one of the ones I saw in theater like three or four times back when it came out in 1999. It's the 25th anniversary of Star Wars in the theaters. Steve in the house. Cheers, Steve. I'm drinking some Grolsch. It's good to see you back, brother. It's been a while. Double A will be upset that he missed you, but cheers, Steve. Okay, CM Cal, what else did you think happened maybe in the world of pop culture that like any news that you saw come out? I thought there was something pretty cool that came out, well, really cool, if you know what I'm talking about, regarding the X-Men.
Mm-hmm, you say it.
So,
you know more about it.
If you guys know Airbnb, you can rent pretty much the place where someone lives and go stay there instead of going to a typical hotel or motel or, you know, whatever. So Airbnb is like, I have a house, I rented out, and you can stay in my house. And a lot of people have been doing recent times they've been doing like theme houses. Like, so it'll be like theme like Mario Brothers or theme like, you know, Batman or whatever, you know. But because of X-Men 97 is approaching its, well, they're in the midst of their season finale, their three-part season finale, and X-Men 97 has been like a phenomenon. Everybody that has seen it has loved it. It's doing great. And I mean, I think this is just icing on the cake. But you can go right now on Airbnb and look up the X-Mansion. So where the, you know, the Marvel's Merry Mutants train and live, Professor Charles Xavier's Institute for Gifted Youngsters. You can actually, they have like, I guess it's like a full-size mansion, I guess. I think it says it can host up to 8 people. You can spend the night there. The rooms you can sleep in is like Wolverine's room, a room for like new trainees, Jubilee's room, which has like the old X-Men game in there, the 4-player console. You can sleep in Hank McCoy's lab, the Beast, you know what I mean, and mix potions. And so it looks pretty cool. And they did everything like cel-shaded, so it's like it's actual, like looks like a cartoon, you know. It's not like it's just a regular old mansion that they called the X-Mansion. They kind of made this, and it's got a big like sentinel head in the front of the yard. So I think this is like such a creative and excellent idea. Like, I mean, I would love to go. Would you want to go see it?
Yeah, I would imagine. And it's $97.
That's right, yeah, $97 a night per person, so that's super cool, too, that they made that price. And if you look at the host, so if we had, like, our own house that we rented out, it would say, like, hosted by, like, CM Cal or CM Chuck. But this one is actually hosted by Jubilee, so it's like, you know, they're making it seem like she's the one renting it out. So they've really gone all out with this, and I think that that would be an incredible experience. If you go on TikTok and look it up, there's already a few people that have gone and have had the experience there. So it's really, really cool. I didn't think that, you know, people were going to get there that fast, because the news just came out, right, this week. But people have already been, had the opportunity to go and stay, and it looks really cool. So you can try on Cerebro. It looks like there's some props that you can try on too, and I think by the end you get like your own like badge, like you're an official, like, you know, student at Xavier School. So I think it's incredible. It's actually in New York, I believe upstate New York, because the X-Mansion is famously in Westchester County, and it's actually in Westchester County. So they've really gone all out to make it what it seems to be like an authentic X-Men animated series experience. So I think that's really, really cool. Anything else that comes to mind, CM Cal, that was newsworthy? I want to say the Fallout series. That was our original plan. If you guys caught me on the Collecting Weekly After Dark, I did mention that's what it was going to be tonight. Me and AA had done preparation to talk about that tonight, but unfortunately, again, he had a last minute, you know, work obligations, so that didn't allow us to discuss that tonight. I'm thinking we'll push it to next week and discuss it then. CM Cal, have you seen Fallout? You haven't seen any?
I saw the first 2 episodes.
Okay, what did you think about the first 2 episodes?
They're cool.
Yeah, pretty cool. And you tried playing some of the game, I think, recently.
And then subscription.
Right, yes. You gotta have the subscription of PlayStation Plus to
continue.
Well,
you can play it without PlayStation Plus. You have to pay like $20 though.
Okay. So what did you think of the game from what you played?
I preferred over the show. It was really good. I liked it. It's a school. You can be first person or third person, and you can customize how like your character looks like, the face and everything.
Okay, and that was Fallout 4?
4.
Okay, very cool. And I was hearing people say that if you want to start up, you can start with 4, or you can start with New Vegas?
Yeah.
Okay,
cool. Each of them is a separate story, so
yeah. That's what I heard. And I can remember like when these games were like everywhere, and there was like, you can't go anywhere without seeing, like, Fallout merchandise. And I always remember seeing the Vault Boy, you know, the thumbs up, and I was always like, what is that?
So, I saw a t-shirt. I thought it was called Mockups.
Okay. I would wear a Vault Boy t-shirt. That's cool. Yeah. Like the Fallout, just the regular logo.
Have you seen those, like, kind of like those anime-styled figures? They're, like, really small.
I think so.
They made a Vault Boy one.
Oh, really? So he looks like the way he is in Fallout, the drawing, or he looks like an anime style?
I like the drawing.
Oh, okay.
Teach you like cel-shaded, I think.
Okay.
I would show you if I could.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you can show me after, but that does sound really cool. I wouldn't mind having a Vault Boy.
The company is called Nendroid.
Nendroid? That's who makes the toys?
Yeah, the figures.
Okay, cool.
We went to that shop in Austin. They had a bunch of them.
They had the Witcher by then?
That we went to Austin.
The comic store.
Yeah, uh-huh. They had a bunch of them.
Was it the one that had mainly figures or the comic book store?
Mainly figures.
Okay, that one that was like on the left of the comic book store.
Yeah, remember
right?
The one where you saw Miles and Green on the store?
Yes, yes. And they had that Dr. Doom, the Mezco. Yeah, okay. Yeah, cool. Okay, they had some. Who did they have? What characters they had?
They had a Predator one.
Really?
And they also had Cookie Monster and Emma.
Oh, okay. Very cool. Awesome.
They had some
awesome.
Like other normal anime like Dragon Ball and Naruto too.
Okay, okay. Hey, why don't you tell us about your experience with, you were trying to get a pre-order figure this week, right?
well, because... I didn't even have the money. I didn't even have...
I know, but we're also on the Collecting Weekly stream, which focuses mainly on, like, you know, collectibles and, you know, CM, if you want to go follow him on his TikTok, you know, he is at CM Cal the Collector, CM13 the Collector, which he is, And what was it you were trying to get this week?
Mafex 147, the symbiote suit from Secret Secret Wars. Hey, that video I made has like 600 likes already.
Nice. If you guys want to check out his video, it's very good. It's about when you kind of miss the opportunity to get something. But what was the result of your attempt at getting it?
It sold out in 5 minutes. The pre-order sold out.
Yeah. So we're on the hunt now. We gotta try to hunt one down if we want to get
yeah,
one.
Yeah, it's probably gonna be at Buddy's open pre-owned.
Yikes! I don't know if we should talk about that on
box
here.
Box bent.
Okay.
More
okay.
than retail.
Well, I guess if you missed it when it comes out, you're always gonna have to end up paying more than retail. Anything else, some Cavaliers in the World News? If you guys are fans of Cobra Kai, I know I just asked you and then I answered because I thought about the Cobra Kai thing. The Cobra Kai, like, mini trailer is out right now. It's on the Just Another Friday Night page, and it's also on our group, the Friday Night Faithful. So if you guys want to go check that out, go check it out, please. If we're huge fans of Cobra Kai, AA and I will likely be, well, not likely be, we probably most definitely will cover it. It is to be the final season, so... we're looking forward to Cobra Kai. You ever catch any Cobra Kai?
Mm-mm.
No, not your jam?
No, I've never seen Karate Kid or Cobra Kai.
Oh, okay. I think you'd like them.
I caught like 5 minutes or 4 minutes when I was in the living room and you guys were watching it.
I think you'd really like the original Karate Kid movie for where like you watch it and then you can
they're
watch
connected,
Cobra
right?
Kai. Yeah, they're connected. Yeah, it's like a sequel to the original movies. And my parents are big fans too, so I think, you know, people from that era of the 80s are huge fans of Cobra Kai, no doubt. So if you guys get a chance, check that out. Nothing else really, right, that was, like, maybe newsworthy, like I said, you know.
Did you guys talk about the 97 cameos?
No, we haven't talked about that yet because we haven't covered those episodes yet. So
you haven't covered 97 yet?
Yeah, we did the first six that are out. We haven't covered the ones that are going to... That one just came out. Yeah, they're not all
not
out
all
yet. Yeah, we're waiting to cover those at the end, but we will definitely. If you have not seen X-Men 97, guys, I cannot recommend it highly enough. It is one of the best shows I've seen in a very, very long time. And I don't mean just animated or Marvel. I mean, like, period. It's one of the best shows. Like, Fallout was good, but X-Men 97 was better. I mean, like, you know, I loved Invincible, but, I mean, maybe because I'm just a big X-Men fan, it's been so good. You know, but again, there is a lot of great TV out there right now. Fallout is great. Not taking anything away from it. Invincible is great. Definitely watch Invincible if you have it. Both of those are from Prime. You know, so Prime has definitely got some wins on there right now. Huge wins. The Boys is coming out, right?
On your birthday.
Yeah, so June 13th, you guys, The Boys will be back, season 4. So try to catch up if you haven't already. It's great. Can't recommend The Boys enough. So lots of good stuff on Prime. And, I mean, everywhere else, too. There's great shows really all around right now, so. Dang, see? Sam Cal, he owes me a beer now for having your phone on during this podcast right there. Yeah, there really was nothing else I saw in the world of news. If anybody else out there can think of anything or remember anything that they wanted to see or talk about, please, by all means, drop it in the comments. We'd love to discuss it with you. But, yeah, we kind of threw this topic together last minute because... I was trying to get some buds on to talk wrestling, but we kind of really couldn't nail down a topic regarding wrestling. These would be some new faces to the show, and I definitely want to get those guys on, but we'll have to wait until we kind of can pin down, I think, a time frame that works for all of us, as well as, like, a specific conversation to have, you know, not just, like, a broad, general, you know, chaotic conversation. But if you heard any of our episodes on Jerry D's podcast of Totally Rad Christmas, where we talk wrestling from the 80s, you'll definitely recognize some of those voices, and it'd be, I think, really cool to put a face faces to voices. And these guys are big time wrestling fans with strong opinions, so they would be, that'd be an episode hopefully we can get coming up soon. But other than that, CM Cal, I think we should just get right into the conversation. What do you think?
Yeah.
Okay, guys, so if you don't know this, you can read the write-up I did for this episode that you see on Facebook or on YouTube. But on April 15th, they put all of the, they had announced it before, right?
Yeah, they announced it in March.
March, that they were going to bring back all the Spider-Man movies, all eight, to theaters.
They should have brought back Into and Across, though.
That would be cool. But they're going to put all eight Spider-Man movies back in theaters, one every Monday, right?
Well, this one was on Friday.
Yeah, so some theaters looks like they kind of did their own thing and kind of like making, you know, I guess flexing with the time frame. But mainly it's on Mondays. Because I've looked, and I can tell you, where we are located at in Texas, I thought all the theaters would be doing it, but they're not all doing it. Mainly for where we live, the theaters are far from where we live, so, and it's only like a handful of theaters. We probably have, like, I would say at least 10 or 12 movie theaters in town, but only like a handful, like maybe four or five are actually doing this Spider-Man Mondays. So we've already, you know, it's kind of been cool though, right? Because you got to experience some new different theaters.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Draft House was nice. I like it.
Yeah. CM Cal became a big fan of the Alamo Drafthouse. It was the first time for me seeing some of the theaters we have in town because I didn't, you know, we don't really venture to, you know, you go to a movie theater, I think you go to the one that's convenient to you, like what's closest to your house. You know, but again, it's fun to go to other theaters and check them out when you have an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And this was definitely the opportunity to go. But CM Cal had said so tell me about why you wanted to go see CM Cal and like why this was important to you.
Well, I just love the Spider-Man movies. I never get to experience them in theaters again. I've always wanted to see the original Sam Raimi movies back in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Not back in theaters because I wasn't alive yet, but...
Well, it's back in theaters for everyone else, yeah. Like, it's back in theaters for me, for sure, yeah. Let's pull up that comment real quick, CM Cal. Tibbs19 in the house says there. What is that? I don't know. I cannot see. We cannot make out your emoji there, Tibbs, but we appreciate you being here. Of course, I always love the Unicron head, and we appreciate you joining us via Twitch. Tibbs19, if you could give... I don't know if I have Jeremy's banner here anymore, but I want to see about getting Jeremy a follow there on Twitch, but I'll hit you up afterwards on that one. Tibbs. Oh, Tibbs says here, he says, Alamo Drafthouse, good choice. That's a pretty cool nostalgic feeling. He says, glad you had fun.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun. So let's number one, talk a little bit about the history of the Spider-Man movies, right? So, I mean, number one, Spider-Man is absolutely on the Mount Rushmore of, you can put the comment down, is on the Mount Rushmore of superheroes, no doubt. Especially he would be Marvel's like number one draft pick to go on a Mount Rushmore, no doubt. He's iconic costume, iconic creators, Stan Lee and Steve Ditko. I mean, Spider-Man is like the guy, you know what I mean? So as many times as people say like, oh, they always remake Batman, they always remake Superman. They do. DC does do that a lot. That's like, those are their guys that would go on the Mount Rushmore. But, you know, for Marvel, it would be hands down, no doubt, you know, Spider-Man. So, you know, back in the 90s when they like finally dropped like Blade, we were like, oh man, they, you know, they kind of did the Iron Man treatment where they brought in this guy that was kind of like a C character. I knew about Blade. I liked Blade because I read like the Midnight Suns comic books. So I thought Blade was cool. He was like a half man, half vampire. And that movie kicked major ass. I mean, it was awesome, but it was rated R, so it wasn't for everybody, you know what I mean? It was like, okay, not everybody go. So then, like, in 2000, we get the X-Men. We're like, oh man, like, you know, Marvel's Merry Mutants, like, everyone loved the X-Men. If you could put, like, you know, a slot on Mount Rushmore that was Marvel, the X-Men would have to have their own slot. Maybe it would be, like, the X symbol or something, but, you know, you need to represent the X-Men because they were huge sellers for Marvel. And the characters are iconic. People love Wolverine. People love, I mean, right now, you know, with X-Men 97, it's just showing how much, you know, people still love the X-Men, how impactful they are. All the characters, not just Wolverine, but people loving Cyclops, people loving Rogue, Gambit, you know, Magneto, you know what I mean? So yeah. So we get that movie in 2000, but the thing was about it, it didn't really look like the X-Men we knew and loved. It didn't look like the cartoon that we grew up with. We're like, man, this is cool, but the characters are kind of different, and they kind of made Magneto this older guy, and then they kind of like, you know, Professor X was just right, you know what I mean? And Wolverine, like, didn't have a yellow costume and a mask, and it was like, okay, they're in this black leather. So it was fun, it was great, but it really wasn't what we, you know, and it made money, and it was huge, you know what I mean, for Marvel. But come 2002, you know, we find out, you know, we know beforehand that we're going to get a Spider-Man movie. And at first we're like, man, Sam Raimi, you know, like, he, the guy that did, like, you know, Darkman, The Quick and the Dead. But really what he's famous for is doing the Evil Dead trilogy, which is, like, the first one is super scary. The second one is scary, and the third one is just complete, like, bonkers. Like, you're like, what the heck is going on with you know, Army of Darkness? But we're like, Sam Raimi's gonna direct this? Like, okay, how is that gonna be Spider-Man? And then we, you know, there was this controversy with, like, the web shooters. He wasn't gonna have, you know, these, you know, web shooters that he created, you know, mechanical web shooters. He was gonna have organic web shooters that the webs were gonna come out of his wrist. Like, and we were like, man, Sam Raimi's screwing it up, you know what I mean? And it was like, people really weren't kind of, like, all the way sure, you know.
Well, there was concept art and, like, mm-hmm. old footage of actual, like, Toby, like, making the web shooters in his room.
Well, you know, and what did you hear about why Sam Raimi went with that?
I don't know why. I never really heard anything or looked into it or.
So the thing I think I heard was that he thought that it made Peter Parker look too smart. Like, that it was like he's doing all this. Yeah, he's doing all this science and all this other stuff, but then he also, like, creates his own web shooters. Like, I think he thought it was, like, a bit of a stretch. But, and to be honest, it seemed like in the Raimi movies, after we just watched all three, right, in theaters, it didn't seem like he really leaned on Peter's smarts like some of the other movies do, right? I feel like some of the later versions, especially the Tom Holland ones, I mean, they almost make Tom Holland Spider-Man seem like he's going to be the next in line after Tony Stark. You know what I mean? And that, I think that's a huge part of the Peter Parker character, is how intelligent he is. So I did notice that they kind of leaned more into his love life in these movies and less into his scientific knowledge. But I definitely think it's a huge part of the Spider-Man character. And I've always loved mechanical web shooters over organic. But, of course, it makes for a great moment later on in No Way Home, right?
Mm-hmm.
So 2002 comes. And even then, right when this movie is, you know, even when the promotion of it, there's kind of controversy because, of course, the tragedy of 9/11 happens. There was already promotional posters out that featured in, you know, the classic, iconic Spider-Man metallic eyes. You know, and New York is just as much of a character, right, as Spider-Man is. But the Twin Towers were featured in his eyes, and they had to go back and wipe that out so that they could...
They still kept it in the movie, though.
Yeah, they did keep it in the movie, but they had to wipe it out of the eyes. They thought that it was too... I think not controversial, but it was too soon, you know what I mean, to have that imagery in his eyes, and the whole country was just, you know, long before your time, you know, CM Cal, but it was just, the whole country was just devastated by that tragedy. So they changed that poster, and then, you know, so, you know, it's iconic if you happen to have or own or can, you know, the original posters, you know what I mean? But so already there was like, you know, surrounding it, like, wow, there's really, like, this, like, stuff surrounding the Spider-Man movie, and he's gonna be swinging through New York, and you're gonna, you know, I mean, again, Spider-Man in New York is like peanut butter and jelly, you know what I mean? Like, they gotta be together. So but it comes out, it's a classic looking costume, a little bit modified, but for the main part he looked the same,
just like the lenses and the gray webbing.
Yes And so people, I think, were in love, and then it was like the guy, like, it was like, yeah, the X-Men are huge and in comics and everything, but, and there was the 90s cartoon, but Spider-Man had a 90s cartoon also, and before that he had a 60s cartoon, and he had like an 80s cartoon, and he had like a 70s show. So this was like the guy.
He had a 60s cartoon?
Not the 60s. I think it was the 70s. Sorry, I meant to say 70s. 70s, 80s. So this is like, you know, of course, everyone knew the theme, you know, Spider-Man does whatever a spider. Even your phone rang right now, that's the theme, right?
Yeah,
so it's just iconic, you know what I mean? So I think this movie is what really, you know, I would say Blade was like an infield home run, and then X-Men was like an another home run. But this was like a grand slam. Like, you know, Spider-Man for Marvel was a grand slam. Like, we were off to the races now. It was like, man, we have, like, this was the landmark. This is the iconic superhero, you know, to get on the map. Again, like I said, like, Marvel did Iron Man, then with Marvel Studios, the MCU, they did Iron Man. And then we had, you know, Cap and Thor, or Thor and Cap, I think. And they were also good, but really Avengers is like where you're like, whoa, like everyone's together, you know what I mean? And then it's like, and again too, even then you go all the way up to Civil War, it's like, where's the guy? Where's Spider-Man? So when you drop this guy in, this makes people just go nuts. So go ahead.
We missed a lot of comments.
Okay, let's take care of the comments, CM.
Well, we kind of already discussed this, right?
Let's see. It says, we're talking about you. And again, guys, if y'all don't know CM Cal, this is my nephew and my godson, one of our longtime and huge fans and frequent contributors. Says, what does little bro think about Tobey Maguire organic web shooters? What do you think? Let's hear it.
I would have preferred... I like them because you can't run out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
You don't have to, like, refill them or anything. You kind of get to see in the game, Spider-Man 2, how, like, Peter has to go to the trouble of finding where he, like, left his fluid and how he has to mix it and have to refill it.
Mm-hmm.
And then even in No Way Home, they talk about, like the Reblox.
Yeah. And then doesn't in one of the Amazing Spider-Mans, they kind of get fried. Or as Amazing Spider-Man 2, they kind of get fried by Electro, mm-hmm. so they're, like, not working. That's also a classic thing that happens in the comic books. Like, people grab them by the wrist, and they're like, and then it's like, oh, great. Like, my web shooters are, you know, done. So the organic is better. But we did see in Spider-Man 2, when he was kind of under a lot of stress, that, like, you know, his powers really weren't working. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's very interesting. But let me ask you, choice, which one would you go with? Organic or mechanical?
Probably organic.
If you had powers?
Yes.
Okay, but what about, like, on the character, what do you prefer?
Mechanical?
And in the movies, too? Mm-hmm. It's just a neat-looking thing, right? Like, it's, like, a neat-looking idea. And again, I like that it showcases his smarts, because I'm sure that Stan Lee and Steve Ditko could have said, let's just make the webs come out of his body. I'm sure they thought about that, but I think that, you know, maybe it was Steve Ditko's drawing that he drew those, and Stan was like, what's that? And he was like, well, that's where the webs come out of, you know? And so it's like, okay, so you write that in, you know what I mean? That's, you know, he got a lot of things from the spider, but he didn't get the webs thing, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like, okay, well, he's going to make that his weapon of choice, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, also, it's like non-lethal, you know what I mean? Like, you know, he could have made maybe a lethal weapon, but he chooses like a non-lethal, you know, option.
Did you see closer
here so you can stay in frame? Yeah.
Did you see that huge, like, tissue box fail for the Homecoming?
No, I didn't see what happened with that.
I'll show it to you later, or right now.
Okay, tell me about it. Let's see here. Real quick, let's get to this comment earlier from Tibbs. He says, all superhero movies at that point were like full-grown adults, and the Spider-Man was the first teenager live-action hero. Agree, yeah. That's a great point, Tibbs. You know, they're, you know, which is very much the way that, in the way that I think Stan Lee you know, I want to give credit to this on Stan, that he thought, like, well, at this point, we had seen a bunch of adult superheroes, you know, the same thing. This was his same thought process. We've had, you know, Captain America, DC had Superman, you know, DC had Batman. And he was like, man, you know, the people that read these comic books are young people. What if I made, you know, this guy a teenager, and he's got to go to high school, and he's got, like, girl problems. And I think that really is what made Spider-Man so iconic at the time, is that it was like, man, he was like a kid.
He was relatable.
Yeah, he was very relatable. He was like a kid, you know what I mean? None of us had, you know, you never saw, well, Batman never worries about money because he's rich, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. And Superman, I mean, like, he's a grown man with a job, you know what I mean? So it's like, you know, there's, you know, they have ways around it. But Spider-Man, you know, again, that's one of the things that makes him so relatable, is that he has problems. What are you going to say?
Did you see the meme? It's like, Spider-Man and Batman together, they're, like, really powerful because Spider-Man has...
superpowers.
How is it gonna go? Spider-Man doesn't have any money, but Batman does. Spider-Man has powers, but Batman doesn't.
So together they make a good team.
yeah.
I get you. Let's hit those other comments real quick from Tibbs. There, he's asking, "Oh, was it cool or lame? What did you think?" He says here
about what?
Or Maguire's organic web shooters, cool or lame?
They were cool.
They're cool. Yeah, I think on Toby they're cool as well. What do we got next? Pull up the next one.
Is it supposed to be backwards?
Yeah, it goes on this computer. It goes backwards. It's a Mac.
Okay, this one?
Oh, okay. This is a great question. Tibbs asks us here, what do you think is the best anime representation? Let's go with you first, Sam Cal.
For me, it's Andrew Garfield's anime.
Andrew Garfield's Sally Fields, played by the actress Sally Fields.
I really like her.
You really like her?
She was sweet and kind.
Yes.
She, yes, I like the other ones. Aunt May was, in the Tom one, like, I feel like she was, like, too young.
Okay.
They should have made her, like, older. I like whenever the animes are, like, older, like how they're supposed to be in the comics.
Like the comics.
And then the Sam Raimi one, I feel like that one was kind of just, like, kind of, like, too old. I just kind of like how they made the one, the, Andrew Garfield's anime more, like, in the middle of both. Middle.
Yeah. Yeah, and Sally Field is a great, famous actress, CM Cal. An iconic movie you can see her in. If you ever heard of the movie Forrest Gump with Tom Hanks? Have you heard of it? She plays his mother in that movie, and she's very sweet and endearing. I also love the Uncle Ben and the Andrew Garfield ones, too, who is Martin Sheen.
Yeah, he would be my favorite Uncle Ben, too.
Really? So, for me, it's kind of hard when it comes to them, because I just love Rosemary Harris, who plays Aunt May in these movies. She has so many iconic lines, and she's just, like... This is the Tobey Maguire one. Okay. Rosemary Harris, yeah. And she's still alive. I don't know how old she is now, but she's still alive. And she, recently, when the actors were on strike, she was out there striking with them. It was hot, but she was out there with signs trying to get actors to get the right pay and everything like that. So that's very cool. Rosemary Harris is, of course, the famous Aunt May from the Tobey Maguire movies, the Sam Raimi series. I know we keep referring to them as the Toby movies, but that's because that's who the Spider-Man was. But obviously, Sam Raimi, a huge part, the director. So it's really like the Raimi, Toby, you know, trilogy. But, you know, I think people think of the actor first, right? They think of who wore the suit, you know what I mean? So no disrespect to Sam Raimi, a great director, but, you know, it's Raimi, Toby. But, you know, we're calling it the Toby trilogy for the sake of this episode.
Kara said hi. Hi, Kara. Okay.
Let's see. Let's go back up to those earlier comments, though. I think you're right there, which is Andrew Garfield's suit was cool.
Yeah, he's my favorite suit. It's more, I really like the eyes, how they're big, and it's, like, really comic accurate.
Yeah. Also, too, the way they made the body look slender and some of that, I think that's, like, maybe they cast Andrew Garfield because of his shape because of that, too.
Also, on the figures, they made it, like, really, they made the red really reflective.
Oh, okay.
Like, especially shinier. In the Mafex.
Yeah. No, I love the way that suit looks too, so I have nothing against that suit either. He says he loves your perspective. Here, pull that one up real quick, CM Cal.
Remember when Aunt May predicted the 2001 suit?
Yes, yeah. Classic. So CM Cal was telling me, tell that story, CM Cal.
So that scene from the Toby trilogy where while Aunt May's in the hospital from Green Goblin, busting through the wall. She's like, those horrible yellow eyes. Somebody made a meme saying that she predicted the first Andrew Garfield shoot with the yellow eyes.
I hadn't heard that until CM Cal told me. So this was a fun experience for me, too, because...
I like the yellow eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, too. You know, classically, like Darth Vader in A New Hope, you know, people always talk about that helmet. It had, like, when the light would hit the helmet, the eyes were kind of red. So a lot of times you'll see representations of the helmet, this Darth Vader helmet with the red eyes, which I think they both look cool, but I mean, I think later on they kind of darkened them so that it matched the helmet more. But yeah, so sometimes you'll see like a Vader with the red eyes and you might think it's wrong, but if you really watch, there's certain scenes. And you know, the truth is in movies, sometimes they have multiple helmets in case one gets dropped or damaged, so they have multiple molds. So it's like, there might be slight variations in them. And I've heard George Lucas talk about how imperfect that first helmet was. He was like, yeah, it's like, it's got like the measurements aren't exactly right. He's like, if you look really closely, but of course he's the director and that's his creation. So he's going to see every imperfection. But I mean, like, you know, when you're watching that on screen, the first time you're like, oh my God, that's freaking like iconic. You know what I mean? But he says that when he redid it for Hayden Christensen, he got the helmet like perfect. Like he got it like how he wanted it. So he's like, yeah, people said they didn't like the way the new Vader looked when it was Hayden Christensen, like the suit. He's like, but this is like the most accurate representation of the suit. So a lot of people love like the red eyes. Mm-hmm. Like, oh man, I want like the red eye Vader or whatever.
That's what they did in Fortnite.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It looks really like, I mean, I think I love all versions of Darth Vader. So that's why I have like 20 Darth Vader figures.
Yeah. You bought like four of the same ones. Yeah, you gave me one. There's one hanging up, and there's like two in a box.
Yeah, yeah. You can never have too much Darth Vader. You know, you're just hanging around like all your Spider-Mans. You know what I mean? So, okay. So let's go to our first movie experience, guys. So really, this episode, guys, is going to be about what it was like for CM Cal and I to kind of experience these movies together and in the theater and the experience. So the first theater we went to see Spider-Man 1 was the Regal Cinema here in the town we live in. And where'd this come from? You shook your hair and this light came out. So we go, and guys, it was hard to get tickets. Like, getting tickets was, like, hard. I had to find theaters that had them. All the theaters, like I said, are far away from where we live, so it was going to be, like, a 20-30-minute drive to any of those theaters. So, and then again, it's on Mondays, right? We're like, dang, it's on a Monday. So that first one, what happened? You didn't have school, or did we take you out early? No, you did. It was just after. It was like a 7 o'clock
No,
show.
It was early.
It was early? No, it was later. But I can tell you this, guys. There were several showings at this theater. They had them like...
No, it was during school. You picked me up early. I remember.
Okay. So there was like 3 o'clock. There was like a 4 o'clock, a 5 o'clock. So I think on this one, we had to pick up CM Cal a little bit early from school because otherwise we weren't going to make it to the theater. So, you know, and again, we're, you know, CM Cal, his mom, my sister, we were like, okay, this is something cool you want to do. You want to have this experiencing the Spider-Man movies, your favorite character in theater. I'm for it. I haven't seen these movies in theater probably since they were first came out. And I don't rewatch them a lot like you do. Not because I don't love them, but because I probably watched them a lot like in the past already, like, you know, the years before you were born, since I've watched them a lot. So
I watch like Tales from Chili's like once a month.
Yeah. So I like, you know, I get to enjoy them. You know, I haven't enjoyed them like you have in a long time. So for me, it was really fun to go back to the theater and enjoy them. So our showing was, I think, like at like 5 o'clock, I think.
No, like 4?
Yeah, but the later showings were sold out. So that's why I picked that time. That's why we had to take us, because there was like, we weren't going to get to go then. So we go to that one. Our theater wasn't full. What did you feel like? What was your experience experiencing it? It totally sucked.
No, it didn't suck. Because I couldn't hear that guy that much. Only you.
Right.
Tell your experience.
And real quick, I want to get to Kara's comment real quick, where she says that Sally Field was also her favorite Aunt May, which is from
Toby.
Amazing Spider-Man. No, Andrew Garfield's.
I thought you said Sally was the one from the other one.
No, she's from the Andrew Garfield one. Okay. Sally Field?
Oh, yeah.
So, everything was going fine, except that, because I was like, oh, the theater's not that full, that's kind of cool. But there ends up being this guy, there's one seat, so it's Kalal's mom, you know, him and then me. And then there's this empty seat, and then there's a guy, and the guy, like, I don't know when I started noticing it, but, like, it seemed kind of early on. Like, it had to be, like, before he even got powers.
You said when Ben was like, hey, Michelangelo.
Yes. Yeah, which is, like, the start of the movie, practically, right? This guy's just talking the whole movie. He's doing the hand motions, like, everything. And, like, anyone that knows, like, you know, I've heard this. You can actually see better out of your peripheral vision, your side vision, than you can straight-on vision. So it's like, I'm seeing this, and it's distracting, right? And then he's talking... not so loud that, like, the whole theater could hear, but definitely loud that I could hear. And he's repeating all this. He's like, hey, Michelangelo, back to the painting. He's like, the great power comes from Michelangelo. I'm like, so then I eventually, like, and a little bit, you know, because we've seen these movies, and mostly everybody in there has seen them. You know, me and Kala will have a little bit of sidebars. We'll lean over and tell each other, like, hey, blah, blah. You know, like, ah, this is a funny part. You know? So we're, like, talking a little bit, not, like, annoyingly, but we're I lean over to him, and I'm like, oh, this guy's saying like every line, and he's like, what? So he notices, he looks over. What did you see in here when you looked over?
So I'm doing the, I think he was during the, when Toby was trying to find out how to shoot the webs.
Go web.
I saw him be like, Suzanne, go web, go. I heard him.
And there's something about, like, I love when, like, you're a fan and you, like, you know, you love something so much that, you know, you're into it. But... you know, and there are even movies that are so popular, and you haven't experienced this yet, but there's movies that are so popular and so famous that they have, like, a, it's called, like, a, I forget what it's called. Okay, remember when we went to see Shrek at the library, and we kind of acted along with it? Like, you read the lines with it? So it's not a sing-along. They call it, like, a you know, like, you, but you're taking part in the movie, you know what I mean? And, like, okay, everyone at this part, when they throw, when the bird explodes, throw feathers, you know what I mean? There's a very famous movie that kind of started all that off. It's called The Rocky Horror Picture Show. I've never seen it in its entirety because your grandpa told me He goes, if you're going to see that movie, go see it at theaters. Because he said there's a scene like where there's a wedding and everyone like throws, in the movie they're throwing rice. He goes, everyone in the theater will take rice and they'll throw it. So that way it feels like it. And since there's like a scene, I guess like with water, like people will like bring water guns, like squirt water. Like, you know what I mean? So it makes it like interactive, right? So we were kind of thinking, I was like, maybe this guy thought this was one of those experiences or whatever. Oh, quote along. It's called a quote along. And even our friends, our good friends, Friday Nighters, John and Roxanne, they had a birthday party for, I can't remember who it was for. It might have been before you were born. I think it was maybe for either John's mom or somebody. But I think, I can't remember what the movie was. But we had like cap guns and stuff like that. And like, it was like, okay, at this part, everybody drinks tequila, so drink tequila. So it was like, it was cool. We kind of did like a quote along. If you go to an experience like that, it's great to participate. Talk along. Do the motions and all that. But this guy like was taking me out of the movie, and of course, you know, afterwards I didn't call the manager and like that. I wanted to, I considered it, but I didn't. I was just like, just let it go, whatever, you know, because you know, you never know, too. So I might have a condition or something like that, right? You know what I mean? There's different things that people are afflicted with that could make them act a certain way, you know what I mean? So It a little bit took me out of my experience, but overall I had fun. And did you enjoy it overall? Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. I mean, what was it like to see that movie for your first time on the big screen?
It was amazing. I loved it. Having to see it in theaters again. Not again, but seeing it in theaters on the big screen.
For your first time. And I got to tell you, despite that guy, it was a lot of fun for me to be there next to you while you were experiencing it. I don't think your mom had seen it in theater probably since the first episode. And that movie is just iconic. So you cannot get past seeing Spider-Man in the theaters. See, hit the comments real quick for me. Our good friend Aurelis Delgado in the house. She says, hey, all, how you doing, Aurelis? We appreciate you being here as always. One of the first ladies of the CW. And let's check out this next one here. Nickname in the house says, yahoo! Yeah, I think referring to classic when Toby's squib slinging, he's always kind of screaming out something, which is kind of new because you don't really think about that in the comics. You know what I mean? Like, I never imagined him like saying anything while he web slings. You know what I mean?
You think SpongeBob Squareballs is
going to
join?
I don't know if SpongeBob Squareballs is going to join. That's Classy Thomas. I hope that he will, though. Do you enjoy when Classy Thomas is here? I think you just enjoy his name.
Yes. Good. Any sodas?
I didn't pack any sodas. Do you want to go get yourself one?
No.
Okay. Because let's take this one down. So here we go. But nickname and Aurelis, we appreciate you guys being here. Again, if you guys don't know, this is Mr. CM Cal. Now, like, what, third episode? Fourth you've done? You've appeared on a couple episodes now.
Third.
Yeah,
two
on Invincible. This would make three. And then he has, like, a cameo, like, way back in episode 75 when he was younger. But this is my nephew and my godson, guys, and one of my favorite people to collect with and go to the movies with. You know what I mean? I'm experiencing Spider-Man again through his eyes. So let's talk about Spider-Man 2. Now, for a long time, CM Cal, this was regarded as the best Spider-Man film. It's the one that also stars Alfred Molina as, you know, of course, in the first movie, you get the great Willem Dafoe as the Green Goblin. You got to have Spider-Man versus his most iconic villain, right? So then, you know, and again, if you guys know Spider-Man, this guy does, there's hardly anyone has better bad guys. Some people say Batman. I disagree. I think Spider-Man has the best rogues gallery.
Batman really goes like hand-on with anybody, except for like Bane.
Yeah, yeah. See, like, you know, Spider-Man, he goes head-to-head with, you know, the Green Goblin. And then in part two, we get Doc Ock. You know, so Alfred, the famous actor Alfred Molina, great legendary actor, plays Dr. Otto Octavius. And, you know, we didn't even talk about all that, right? But, you know, you got to see, like, you know, J.K. Simmons as, you know, J. Jonah Jameson on the big screen. What was that like for you?
Funny. It was good.
Very good,
everybody,
right?
Everybody was laughing during 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, and that was cool, too. Even though our theaters were, this was the most full one, right? That we've been to this, we just saw 3 today in theaters, so we're doing this right after. Go ahead.
This was the only one without any issues. Nobody talking. They didn't turn the lights on.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and I like the lighting better in this one. Remember, the other drop tops, the lights were kind of bright. That were under where the...
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Yeah, I like the lighting in this one. I think maybe we'll round out the rest of them there at this one. We had the best experience there so far. You know, we covered Invincible together, CM Cal and I. You know, the second half of season two with Double A, but you know, hearing J.K. Simmons as Omni-Man and then seeing him as J. Jonah Jameson on the screen is like, you know, I would lean over to see him kind of be like, look, Omni-Man, there he is, you know what I mean? Because he kind of looks like him, right, with the stash and the hair.
You
know?
So remember seeing you, they did the, like, the trace out of Omni-Man, but it was the J.K. as...
J. Jonah?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see that.
You gotta, I sent it to you, I thought.
You got to sit. I'll look at it. I'll look, see if I got it there. I'll check it out for sure. Okay, so fast forward to, like we said, Spider-Man 2, right? So now we're like, this one did we see on a... No, this one we actually see. So this theater kind of played around too, because we didn't see it on a Monday. We saw it on a Tuesday. And you were in the middle of like school testing, right?
No.
Yes, because we saw it on a Tuesday after you took the math stars test.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So yeah, so we went on a Tuesday.
Well, it was after. No.
Yeah, it was after. But what I mean is like you know, you had testing the week before testing at that mm-hmm. time.
I tested on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. So we went to go see it. He got done with stars math, and we went to go see it. This one we saw it at the Alamo Drafthouse, Stone Oak. So this is very far from us, about 35 minutes. But it was it was a beautiful theater. I had never been there. What did you think about the theater? That was your first Drafthouse.
No, was it?
Yeah, it was.
No, was it?
For Spider-Man 2? Oh, you had been to the Drafthouse before?
I've been to the Drafthouse for Spider-Man 2.
I know, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh!
I'm talking about part 2, yeah.
Yeah, that was my first time.
And what did you think? Because you kind of kept being like, this is a cool little theater.
I liked the decorations on the top with the bomb and the mm-hmm. aliens and that other stuff. And the, remember the Godzilla
yeah.
video?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, yeah. Because mm-hmm. it was a wing or something like that?
Yeah, it was a wing.
It was like a chicken wing versus like a pizza or something like that. But, yeah, so Sam Cowell hadn't experienced a draft house, like, watching a movie there, and we had pizza, right? That was cool.
Pizza? You said it sucked.
Well, it was cool that we were able to get pizza, like, you know, but I didn't, you know, it wasn't my favorite pizza there at that draft house. I feel like we're too bright now. Let me turn this out a little bit.
Yeah, I know, just the glare in my glasses.
Yeah, let me see here. How is that? Better? Better or worse for those of you out there? Let us know, guys. Yes, but what did you think of the pizza?
I liked it. It was good. It was kind of spicy.
Okay.
It was good. I liked it. Yeah, I'd rather get what I got this time than what I got last time at Spider-Man 2.
Okay. Now, my favorite part of seeing Spider-Man 2 at the Draft House was, if anyone has ever been to an Alamo Draft House theater, they're very famous for the the opening, So you go to some theaters, right, and they have, like, ads playing. No, get closer. We're both staying in the frame. We've got this big, wide gap between us. They're famous for playing, you know, their own kind of clips before the movie. They don't do, like, a lot of ads or interviews. Like, you go see, like, at, like, Regal or Cinemark, you know what I mean? So it's, like, their own collection of clips. You okay?
Mm-hmm.
we'll wrap it up in a minute here. But, yeah, so tell me what you saw, CM Cal, and what you enjoyed Turkish before the movie.
Spider-Man.
Turkish Spider-Man.
I told you about Turkish Superman too, right?
No, I didn't see Turkish Superman.
He didn't come out, but the same company that made Turkish Spider-Man made Turkish Superman.
Is there videos of that?
Yes.
Okay, are they equally as good?
I don't know, I've never seen it.
Okay, so what was Turkish Spider-Man up to? Tell the audience here.
So there was this ad and it said... So there's basically this Turkish Spider-Man. It was like Spider-Man. Well, he didn't really look like Spider-Man. It was just like a guy in a costume with the Turkish colors. He didn't look anything like Spider-Man. He didn't have the lenses or anything. And it was like translating on the bottom. It said, "Do not talk during the movie." And there was this guy he had tied up in the chair. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Bring the suit over here," in mm-hmm. Turkish. So he like... brought the suit over to him, like his eyes, like right here. He put a mole rat. Was it a mole rat?
I don't know what kind
it
of
ate his eyes away. You can see the blood just dripping down from there. And you see the translate go to, "You better not talk during the movie," from the ad. It was great. It's worse than Japanese Spider-Man.
And they showed clips from Japanese Spider-Man, right?
No,
they did. Yeah, I thought they did. They showed clips from almost, like, every type of Spider-Man guys that has ever been on screen. They showed the old 70s show, right? They showed that Spider-Man. I swear that they did show some Japanese Spider-Man, but maybe... I'm sure you would have noticed and you would have said something, but they showed that. They showed some of the old cartoons, some of the old what was it, like some workout video or whatever, and it was like the Doc Ock punch and all this.
Sling stance,
yeah. So, I mean, I think it was like an exercise video for kids, so CM Cal had never seen some of that stuff, and he got to enjoy that, but Turkish Spider-Man truly stuck in his mind, and we were just laughing because we kept saying, man, we really need a Turkish Spider-Man for the first time. Spider-Man we saw with that guy that wouldn't stop talking and acting out the movie. Let's hit up those comments real quick, CM Cal. I've been a Spider-Man fan since this trilogy. The Zombie Killer King joining us via YouTube. We appreciate that, man, you joining us. And yeah, absolutely. I mean, there is nothing to not love, really, in my opinion, about the Tobey Spider-Man trilogy. And we'll get into part three, because I'm sure people probably have some strong opinions. But let's see what Nick Name says there, CM Cal, in regards to Turkish Spider-Man. Excuse me, and the mole rat. It might have been a ferret. I don't know what it was, but pretty much.
I'm trying to find that video. It only has clips from the full movie.
Well, it was wild. Let me tell you guys. Yeah, I think we definitely should watch some Turkish Spider-Man. What else do we got comment wise here, CM Cal? And guys, thank y'all so much for joining us. We appreciate it. CM Cal loves to work the comments when it's when you guys pop in there and talk to us. Okay, so we get to see.
That's
yeah. Yeah, so we get to see that opening, and then we get to experience, of course, what I said people consider one of the best, if not the best, Spider-Man movie. Definitely probably of the Tobey trilogy. Do you agree, CM Cal? Because when we're talking about the Tobey Raimi trilogy, what did you think about seeing Spider-Man 2 on the big screen?
I thought it was my favorite, too, but seeing it in theaters with like everybody being there, I think Spider-Man 3 is definitely my favorite. Because yeah. My ranking... For a while, it's been two. I gotta sneeze.
Go ahead. Tissue right over there. And real quick, guys, I just gotta tell a quick story.
It's been 2, 3, and 1 for my.
2, 3, and 1 is what CM Cal is saying that it had been his ranking for the Spider-Man Raimi Tobey verse, for me, I would probably go 2, 1, 3. That would be my ranking, but I didn't get to really talk about this, but just seeing it again in theaters, and again, you know, being alongside my nephew as like an uncle and nephew, you know, Uncle Ben's death in that first one, like, really, like, hit me, you know what I mean? And, like, I think, you know, CM Cal kind of looked over to me, and he could see that, you know, I was getting emotional about that part, and he kind of, like, grabbed my hand, and, like, man, that, like, made it even more, like, really cool and special and intense, like, to watch it, you know, like, that way, because I just always love, you know, the Peter Parker Uncle Ben relationship, and it is the reason why Spider-Man is because, you know, his uncle, who loved him like a dad and raised him like a dad and treated him like, you know, a son, had all this love for him, and then just, you know, for in those moments, you know, that's iconic. It's what changes him. It's like Batman's parents being killed in front of him. That's what changes him, you know what I mean? You know, Superman, you know, losing his dad, you know, Jonathan Kent in the movies. I mean, it's a huge moment, you know. So, yeah. Sam Cal, check out this comment right here from Nickname afterwards. Don't hate me. Read it.
But I actually like Spider-Man 3, then 2 when I was young.
Yeah, and Nickname, you know, I'm gonna talk a little bit about this, right? You can pull it down. We'll bring it back up when we get to Spider-Man 3, Nickname, and no one's gonna hate you, man, because, you know, like me and Double A always say, man, love what you love. We just love that people are fans of things. It's okay. You can like whatever one you like. When I was a kid, and Double A will say this too, Rocky IV was my favorite because I'm a kid of the 80s, and that was like the one that was out. You know, I'm trying to think. Superman 3, that was the Christopher Reeve series. That was my favorite. And I bet if I showed those to you, CM Cal, you'd be like, these are really cool. And they were incredible for the time. Now when you look at them, all the movies that are out from those series, they're not the best. Because the other ones are better. But they're just a lot of fun, and they really appeal to like the younger audience. So I totally get you, Nickname, when you say that. About Spider-Man 3. So, yeah, no hate, no judgment, man.
Like I just said, now that I saw it back in theaters, I changed my opinion.
Yeah.
See 2 1.
Well, we went today with your aunt, right, to see 3. And I don't think she'd seen those.
I think it might be 3 1 2 for me.
Yeah? She hadn't seen those, I think, in a while. And after we got out, she goes, I think this one is my favorite. And I got to say, today, too, there was a great crowd. So I think having a good audience also does help your experience enjoying it in the theater. That's one of the fun things about enjoying a movie in theater. You know, recently we just had, I think, the 5-year anniversary of Endgame in theaters, right? And me and you just saw right now, was it the 16-year anniversary of Iron Man?
What do you mean?
15 or 16 year since it came out? I think it's 16 year.
Since the first Iron Man?
The first Iron Man, yeah. The video we just watched where it was like, oh, 16 years ago or 15 years ago, Iron Man 1 came out. But either way, I know it was just recently the 5-year anniversary of Endgame. And people were posting up, the clip people post up is not just of the movie. They post up the clip of the theater reaction, which is, I always say, to this day, it gives me chills. When I see that scene, no matter what, like, I get choked up, like, I get teary-eyed, because that's like...
Mjolnir?
No, from Endgame. When Cap, you know, lifts up Mjolnir. I'm like, that is like... That is, to me, that was like all my movie watching of superheroes finally, like, it was like it came to that moment. That was the peak moment, you know? And everyone says that now, too. They say that this is peak Marvel, you know?
Man, when I was like 7, I fell asleep during it.
I think you might have been too little to appreciate it then. Also, too, most of us then that are watching that have been watching Marvel movies for 10 years at that point or more, so I definitely get it.
I don't even remember No Way Home.
Well,
I don't remember any of it.
Well, you'll get a chance. It's coming up soon.
In June 2nd,
I think. Right now, guys, we have our tickets bought all the way up to Homecoming, so we're good through there, but, you know, in a few weeks, we'll get our tickets to... Far From Home and No Way Home to round it out. You okay? Mm-hmm. Eyes itching? Okay, so let's talk about Spider-Man 2. What did you think about seeing it on the big screen? Doc Ock, you know, the famous, you know... All the famous lines, you know, the power of the sun in the palm of my hand. You know, how did you feel about it? What were your thoughts?
I really think it was good and no distractions except, well, there's nothing except one fail at the end. They should have waited to turn the lights off. There was like a minute and a half left when they first turned the lights off. And on, back on.
Yes.
That was kind of ruined it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price. Priceline.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Oh, sorry about that. Did it splash you?
Yes.
Sorry. Sorry, these have like a pop top, so I was like, yeah, I didn't mean to splash you. Hey, don't be drinking on camera here. Yeah, guys, so this is a shout-out to Alamo Drafthouse at Stone Oak, okay? If you you guys, you turned up the lights way too early, and that was a real... Sorry, guys, I don't know why that one splashed. But that was like a bummer. We were like, the movie's not even over. They were still talking, right? It was like the funeral scene, right? Whose funeral?
I don't remember.
No, was it a funeral? No, he's visiting the grave, right?
Man, all of them and all of the Spider-Man movies... Like, and at either a funeral or a grave or...
Yeah, that's true, right? So, dang, where were they? Because this is where he's, like... This is where he's talking to MJ. And he's telling her pretty much he can't be with her, right? Isn't that what's happening? Am I remembering correctly? The end of Spider-Man 2? Somebody help me out.
I don't know who it's for, but...
Yeah, but they're there. And, yeah, like, that scene is still going in the house, the Alamo Drafthouse, Stone Oak, which, other than that, great experience... turns up the lights. I'm like, why are you turning the lights on now? Like, it's not even, like, we're not even at the credits yet. Like, so, we were both kind of like, aw. Like, we kind of both agreed. Tim counted that was like, we've experienced two fails now, two Spider-Man's away. But much different experience with Spider-Man 3, which we just got out of today. And that's kind of what inspired me to want to do this episode. And I think you said, too, because AA canceled, and you said we should do an episode, and we said, well, let's do this episode. Mm-hmm. So, talk about your experience with us today. And also, we went to see the first two with your mom, but today we went with your aunt because your mom had to work. So tell me about what it was like and what your experience was like today with Spider-Man 3.
It was good. I enjoyed rewatching it. I had a whole new, not a whole new appreciation, but I really like, I haven't rewatched Spider-Man 3 in a while. Last time I watched it was maybe like in November of last month. And then I saw it today. It was good. The audience was really good. I like that.
Move this way. Yeah. Great audience. It was a pretty full theater, right?
Yeah, it was like maybe like 20 empty seats in total.
And you got to get out of school early. That was cool, right? My first time checking you out of school, so that was like different for me. And I gotta say, when I came out on After Dark this week on the Collecting Weekly channel, and we talked about, you know, like, did anybody have anything coming up for the week? And I was like, well, I'll be watching Spider-Man 3 in theaters again. And I was like, yeah, hopefully I can take some bathroom breaks and like that. Because I remember it as being a bad movie. Like, I remember it as being like, oh, it's so corny. It's so cringe, as the young people say, right? And I was like, man, I'm not really looking forward to this one, but I'm going for you, and maybe it'll be fun with you. I freaking enjoyed it. It was so good. I was like, this movie, and in fact, I was watching, and I was like, why do people hate this movie? And I was like, it's got like two or three bad parts that are a little bit like, ugh, corny.
What are the bad parts?
Well,
in your opinion.
I guess you could say, like, some people talk about, like, when he's walking down the street, finger pointing, you know what I mean? That's not even that terrible. Like, and the crowd was laughing, right?
Yeah,
like,
I think it just added to the symbiote effects.
Yeah, like, it was like, and also, too, when you think about it, it says, like, oh, the symbiote makes you act more like, what does Dr. Connor say?
I don't know,
yeah. He says something like, it makes your other impulses act. It just goes to show what a good guy Peter Parker is, that to him being bad was, like, finger pointing and, like, playing piano and dancing at, like, you know, the club with MJ. Now, I will say this. The movie made me definitely remember, like, how much I dislike MJ in this series. I was like, wow, she kissed Harry? She called Harry to go hang out with? Like, you don't have any friends that are girls to call? Like, not cool, MJ. Not cool. And, you know, Harry, I was telling Sam Cowell how much I like, you know, Harry when he's nice. Like, nice guy Harry.
Cool.
Yeah, he was, like, such a good friend and fun.
You see a lot of him in the first movie.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I didn't like that part where he's like, I used to protect you at high school. I was like, you didn't protect him from Flash at all. It's like, you know. And in fact, in that first one, he's kind of cowardly too. And it's like when MJ get the bridge thing blows up or whatever. When they're at the festival and like Goblin bombs the thing, like he kind of like, well, he's not cowardly, but he just like, there's nothing he can really do, I guess, to help her. But he's like, well, I want to see you. I want to buy you something. But she's already into Spider-Man, which again is kind of like, come on, MJ, you have a guy, and you're, like, all into Spider-Man. I'm like, it's messed up, in my opinion. But I just was like, this movie is, like, really solid. Number one, I thought the Sandman character was great. I had always thought that. But I was seeing it again, I was like, he's a really good character. What did you think about what they did with the origin, though? Like, changing it to include him in the Uncle Ben death. How did you feel about that?
I was kind of confused because he says... I don't want to have a, what's it called, dead air?
A what?
Dead air.
No, that's okay. No, tell me what you're thinking, or thinking about it. So, well, let me kind of tell you what we're talking about. So if you guys know the story classically from Spider-Man 1, it's okay. He was going to, you know, he's at the wrestling event. He doesn't get paid right. The place gets robbed. The robber that he lets go kills Uncle Ben. I mean, if you don't know the Spider-Man origin, I don't know why you're here. but yeah, so this is a very, like, one of the most classic origins of all time. So in part three, they add in that not only was that guy there, but that he wasn't the shooter, but that there was this other guy there, Flint Marko, who is the Sandman, that was there also. And of course, in Peter's mind, he's like, what? Like, you know, you knew this and all that. And like, there was a second guy. And like, you know, like, he's obviously upset. And to find out that the guy that he had this run-in with in part one, and essentially... What do you think? Do you think Peter caused his death, or, you know, or he didn't do anything to stop it, is what I will say.
I think he didn't do anything to stop it. That's what I think. And
yeah.
He did it for revenge, like Aunt May was saying, because he didn't give him money. He was like, oh,
yeah,
he didn't want to
yeah
help that guy at the counter.
Right, right. But, you know, Pete lets him die because he feels like he killed Uncle Ben. You know what I mean? Like, he's just like, whatever. Like, you know, like you're garbage. And so, you know, he basically feels like you got what you deserved, right? Mm-hmm. Turn this way a little bit more. So yeah. So, you know, you get it. But now Pete feels like, great. Like, I had this run-in with this other guy, and he wasn't even the guy I was supposed to get. It's supposed to be this other guy, you know, Flint Marko. And he already had one run-in with him as the Sandman already, so he's like, what's going on, whatever. So, you know, and then, mind you, how did you feel, CM Cal? Because one of the things I was thinking about is I was like, the symbiote's around for a while in his room, but it hasn't latched on him yet. It doesn't latch on to him until he starts having all these feelings. He's having these bad feelings with MJ. He's having these bad feelings about, you know, this other guy being alive and, like, that he didn't really avenge Uncle Ben. Like, it's only when he's, like, laying in the bed that night when he's, like, really, like, he's so conflicted. I almost feel like the symbiote feeds off of your bad feelings, like your anger and your sadness. It just, and that's when it chooses to get on top of him, and it starts, like, climbing on him, and he kind of wakes up, right? He's like, where am I? And he's, like, already in the black suit. Do you kind of feel that way, or, like, what do you think about it?
I feel what way?
Like, why did the symbiote, like, wait to get on Peter, and, like, why did it... Do you feel like it kind of feeds on bad?
I think so.
Your bad thoughts, your evil thoughts, or not bad, evil thoughts, but like your bad feelings, your negative feelings.
Yeah, I think so. Or it's something like around that concept.
Yeah, okay. Let's hit this next comment.
I was trying to tell you that.
I agree, man. I agree. And they really do... in my opinion, a fantastic job with addressing that friendship in a much different way in the Spider-Man 2 game, right?
Game?
The game.
Oh, yeah.
It's still, like, a beautiful friendship and a relationship, but they just approach it differently, you know what I mean? And in a good way. Like, I think that if you love what you see about their friendship in these movies, you'll love that in the
Insomniac games.
Yes, in the Insomniac games. And... they never really get this right again. Do you agree?
Yeah, what right?
The Harry Peter relationship.
Well, I feel like the one in the Andrew Garfield movie was pretty bad. And then they don't. So instead of it's Ned instead of Harry.
Yeah, there is no Harry thus far.
I would have preferred
in Harry. The Tom Holland ones, right? Yeah. Right. So that's kind of interesting. Like, there's really no. There's no Green Goblin to be in the Tom Holland version of the movies. But yeah, I feel like these movies, the Tobey ones, made that relationship special. And if you read the comic books, you know, the 60s comic books, you know, in the beginning, Peter's with Gwen. And I think Harry does date MJ. Somebody out there that's a comic book fan, correct me if I'm wrong. You can put that comment down. I'll see him. But yeah, thank you, Nickname, for that comment. You know, they're like a group of friends, and they all hang out. Excuse me. So it's like, it's always like, you know, Harry and Pete and MJ and Gwen, and they all hang out. They go eat pizza together. They're just always spending time together. And so, you know, it makes everything more tragic when, like, you know, obviously because of Spider-Man, you know, and the villains that are involved, you know, Norman Osborn being the Green Goblin and being nuts and, like, you know, Gwen's death. It's all that, you know, comes into play. And then, of course, you know, Harry does take up the mantle and becomes the Green Goblin. It's just like so complex. You know what I mean? I feel like these movies dealt with some of that the best because they do show the friendship with Harry and Pete. And they do show, you know, the stuff with MJ. She's with Harry, and then, you know, she ends up with Pete. Pete always loved her, you know, so there's that. I think it did that really well, you know what I mean? But are we in the third movie yet? Are we talking about the third movie?
Yeah, we're talking about the third movie.
Okay, so what else were your feelings and thoughts about the movie as we went along through this one? Because obviously this features one of your favorite characters.
Yeah, I really forgot about the origin of how they did Venom. In the Spider-Man
3
movie.
Yeah. So I absolutely hate the guy that plays Eddie Brock. What did you feel about him?
Topher Grace.
Yeah. What did you think?
I think they really could have chose a better guy, but overall, I think he acted kind of like how a buffer version would act.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Extra. Like a more buff version?
Yeah, I would have liked it if they did like kind of how they did it in the comics where he's already like in jail.
Yeah, yeah.
And then...
And he is a rival photographer, I believe. Mm-hmm. But he's also like a guy that like goes to the gym, like works out. Like he's a big buff guy, like a football player almost. Mm-hmm. So them getting Topher Grace to me was always kind of weird. I was like, why are you getting this guy? That doesn't make a lot of sense. What did you think about... okay, let me ask you this. How did you compare Topher Grace to Tom Hardy?
Tom Hardy's better, I think. They made him more...
But could you see him as a bad guy, though? Because they kind of make us like Tom Hardy.
Yeah, he's more of an anti-hero.
Yeah, he's definitely an anti-hero. That's definitely, like, the Venom anti-hero. Now, of course, I love the way that Venom looks way better, too. How did you feel about the way Venom looked? We didn't see that much Venom,
which
right?
Venom? Oh.
In this one we watched today.
I wish the lenses would have been better.
Mm-hmm.
And they should have been, like, less web pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And they should have made the symbol more white.
Yeah.
And the lenses more white.
I agree. And let me tell you one of my main things with Venom. I hate, like, straight teeth Venom. I know Venom has straight teeth at times, but I like when his teeth look more like, it looks more like...
Did he have straight teeth? He looked like he had more, like, sharp straight teeth.
Yeah, he did, but they were, like, also little. Like, Venom's, like, these big fangs. Like, I think that they do it good sometimes in the Tom Hardy ones, but, like... Think about that iconic cover you have of Venom number one, Lethal Protector, where he's got like the big old fangs. Like, oh, I'm like, yeah. Man, I like when he looks like that. And if you look at Todd McFarlane's art, like later when he does one of his characters called the Violator, you can tell like Violator is kind of like influenced by Venom, but he goes more crazy with Violator because his mouth is like the same kind of fangs, but like just so big and pronounced. And that's what I think of when I think about like Venom, you know, this like crazy. Where, like, he could grab a guy and, like, start putting him in his mouth. Like, he could, like...
That's what Carnage did to that one guy in,
Let There Be Carnage? Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Can I show you some concept art? Like, how they... I wish they would have done Venom?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, no doubt. And, also,
yeah.
What I was gonna say was, dang, did you like the... Number one, I thought the voice sucked.
Uh-huh.
The Venom voice. Like, his voice was basically the same. He had, like, a normal voice. Yeah, I wanted more, like, a Venom voice. And then what about his freaking, like, raptor noise? He was like...
That was, like, high-pitched and, like, squeaky.
Did you like that?
No.
I hated that. I was like... And this guy is a huge Venom guy. So I was like... And it's so funny because his grandfather, you know, my dad, is a big Venom guy, too. So for him to end up being a big Venom guy, like, Venom is literally, like, on two or three of his walls, right? I think your door, your walls, like, you know, you're a big Venom fan.
You know, that scene where Sandman catches him, I really like how they made, like, him look when he, like, opened his mouth. That was cool.
Yes.
With the tongue.
Yes. That, yeah, I know, the tongue. That's such a huge part of Venom. And they, like, took that away. Like, I was like, I would think that Sam Raimi, being, like, a horror guy, would have gone more... horrific, you know what I mean? And I was like, dude, Venom was kind of tame in this one a little bit. And that's not to say that I hated it. I really enjoyed seeing Spider-Man 3 today in theaters. I was laughing. The crowd was laughing. There were so many parts that are memed, you know what I mean, that like I didn't realize.
Yeah.
I just think that this movie has aged really well. And that it made it one of those things where it's like the bad parts are funny now and you can go and enjoy it in that way. Real quick, I want to get to a comment from Nickname who says, does Norman even love his son? Because sometimes he seems to prefer Peter over Harry. I definitely think they play with that concept because even when the symbiote's taken over Peter, he tells Harry, he's like, he didn't love you. He was disappointed by you. And I was like, and at first I was thinking, I was like, you know what? Peter's not really being that bad yet. He should have said something to Harry that would have like messed with him when he was already like with the symbiote on him. And then I saw that part that I had forgot about and I was like, oh damn, he really went for it. He really told him something, you know, ugly to like mess with him. Cause you can see that it's affecting Harry when he's on the ground, like, man. And I love that fight. That fight was really good.
I really love, what fight?
Well, the house, Peter and Harry.
I like the fight where like they were both out of costume. Well, not both. Harry was in costume, but I like when superheroes fight out of costume.
Yes, cool. I love that too. It looks very cool.
This is how I wish they would have made This is concept.
You sent me that. Yes, that looks excellent. Yeah, and CM Cal is showing me right now. If you guys look up, what do they got to look up to see that, CM Cal?
I just looked up.
I think if you look up Spider-Man 3 Venom concept art or black suit concept art.
I looked up symbiote suit
concept art. You can kind of see it right there. But man, there's no web lines, which looks really cool. I mean,
I think they should have made Venom like that too.
Yeah, that would have been neat to make him look different, right? Like a little bit more different than him. Is there a concept Venom? Or
there's a bunch of concept Venoms. Oh no, that's not.
I want to get real quick to Steve's comment here. Steve says, "I have to go now." He said, "But we all know that tomorrow is. So I'm going to say, May the fourth be with you, my friend. May the fourth be with you, Steve. Absolutely, sir. Cheers to that." And we love you, Steven. Always appreciate you. Man, Double A is going to be sad. He missed you, man. We're glad to see you back here in the mix. And if anybody out there in listening land knows our good friend Jason Ruiz, Jason used to always join us every episode, even before we started streaming with CW. And he seems to be missing from Facebook and everywhere. And we just want to all check in and make sure he's okay. We know him through our good friend Mario Delgado of Collector's Authority. And it's just odd for him not to have been on in so long. And I tried to look for him on Facebook and couldn't find him. So maybe he just got off social media. I don't know, but if anybody knows anything or has any news about Jason Ruiz, please let us know. We'd like to just check up on him. And Jason, we hope you're doing okay. Want to read this next comment here, CM?
Yeah, pull up.
Last one. There you go.
My first introduction to Spider-Man was the Unlimited Spider-Man, where we stuck on an alien planet with Venom and Carnage duo. So whenever I saw Venom in Spider-Man 3, I was waiting for Carnage.
Nice. Wow, I don't think I'm familiar with that Spider-Man Unlimited series, Nick. It sounds cool. Do you know that series? Mm-mm. Yeah, I mean, this guy has been reading, like, you know, King in Black, the
Maximum,
Carnage.
Ultimate
Carnage.
I don't know. Is it Maximum?
Absolute Carnage.
Absolute
Carnage. He was educating me about the King of Black stuff, because I just, you know, my dad, you know, he would buy every single Venom series that came out, and sometimes I just loved to read comics when I was a kid, so I didn't care what comics were around me, even if it wasn't my favorite character, I would just read it, and it was neat, because for a while, Venom had a lot of cameos, like Punisher came out, Wolverine came out, so I just liked seeing, like, all that, of course, in the first one, Spider-Man came out, so I always just liked reading those series. Really reading any comic books, you know what I mean? Once I'd read all my comic books and read them 2-3 times, I was like, well, what else is there? I'd be like, okay, well, you know, your grandpa was buying all these, the whole box that I gave you of his Venom comic books, so I would read through those. He's not one of, like, my favorite characters, but I definitely think the character is cool and have a lot of respect for him. I always like when a character has a villain and the villain is like a mirror of them, you know what I mean? Like, you know, Venom is definitely the anti-Spider-Man, you know what I mean? He's, you know, Spider-Man's bright colors, he's dark colors, you know what I mean? He's, you know, Spider-Man's supposed to be kind of like a skinnier guy or whatever, like a little, like, littler, and Venom is this big buff, like, brute, you know what I mean? So there's always I like the contrast, you know? What else, CM Cal? What else did you enjoy and experience during our viewing of Spider-Man 3 today?
All the memes that people were, like, laughing about.
I loved it. Yes. What was the one that people kind of, like, first laughed at to you that you noticed? I know what I'm thinking of.
I really love the one where Toby was just sitting there in the bed, and the camera just goes around him, like, kind of like this.
Uh-huh.
And it plays the theme. That's, like, one of my favorite memes. It's, like, my favorite meme from the...
Really? You gotta show me that one, because I don't think I remember that one. My favorite one is how did that get in there?
Oh, I like that one, too.
But I also love, you know, the classic Harry turning around and giving the wink. You know what I mean? That's so good.
Are you serious from the first one?
Yeah. And hey, did you notice that at the funeral for Harry that Flash was there?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he's there. Yeah, I noticed that this time. I was like, oh my gosh, he came back, same actor and everything. I was like, wow, Joe Manganiello was there. And again, too, you know, it really sucks because I really, really love James Franco as an actor. Excuse me. Now, I know he got in trouble in real life for, you know, the various things he did. And you know, it's just so terrible when these people that are famous and have a really great career do things like that, because it just messes up everything. I know you know about Ezra Miller. Because, you know, you obviously have the internet and read things, whatever. And I don't think you know that much about James Franco, who plays Harry Osborne. But, yeah, he got in trouble, too, for not treating women the way you're supposed to treat them, you know what I mean? So that's
it sucks because I think he's a really good actor and I've seen him in a lot of good things. And the same thing with Ezra Miller because I knew he was in that trouble. But when I saw Flash, I was just like, gosh dang, this kid can really act. I mean, he's really, really good. And I really hope that these guys can find like a Robert Downey Jr. type redemption arc in their lives. I know that some crimes may seem unforgivable, but I mean, like, you know, I'm not trying to make light of it, but I just mean, you know, Robert Downey, I mean, he was hurting himself and he found his way back, but maybe there's a way for them to find their way back. I don't know, but I really wish they would because I think they're really stellar actors. And man, I think it would have been really cool maybe to see, you know, do you think it would have been cool to see like Harry in No Way Home?
Harry from the, which one?
From the Toby ones, the ones we just watched.
I mean, wouldn't it make sense? But yeah, it'd be cool.
Why wouldn't it make sense? He was a goblin. Oh, I guess because it was like their first experience with somebody, right?
Like, can you imagine what it'd be like instead of Sandman, it'd be Venom in the realm?
Not Topher Grace, though. No thanks. Just give me CGI Venom.
Hey, you know that Flash is Agent Venom in the comics, right?
Yeah, you were telling me that. Yeah.
The actor for Flash in the Raimi trilogy said that he would love to play Age of Venom in Secret Wars.
I remember I told you he's Deathstroke in the deleted scene from Justice League.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, and he looks really cool as that. I mean, it's kind of like an Agent Venom-ish look, so I got to show you that scene. It's really cool. Like
you've never shown me.
He'd be great to be Agent Venom because he's buff. That guy's buff, Joe Manganiello. So, yeah, really cool. How about hit up these comments real quick? One up. Oh, there we go, real quick. Marlene Ling's in the house. She says, "Hello." From the first one, you're being a silly Uncle Charles. Like, probably. And then let's read the next one. The Morellas boys. Read the one up from Nickname there, he says. Right there.
I'll put even cheese on.
He says, you want to read it?
No, you.
It's a cool series. Green Goblin, he has wings instead of a glider, was Peter's friend. And it was so in shock when he learned that they're actually enemies. Oh, I know you said Unlimited Nickname, but do you mean Ultimate? Because I remember there being the Ultimate Green Goblin that had wings, but I could be wrong. I haven't read some of those comics in a long time, but great comment. Go down to Arlene's comment real quick, the most recent one. Talk a little bit about this character.
I don't really know much about Agent Venom, so I don't really have that. I don't know, like, the origin or anything.
But just this, Arlene, if you know the Flash Thompson character, who's pretty much like Peter Parker's main bully in any version of the movies, becomes a version of Venom. Now, how does that happen, Sam Cal? Do you know? Does he get symbiote, or does he, you don't really know the origin?
No, I don't know.
We don't know the origin, but I mean, I'm sure it's out there. But just a kind of a cool concept or whatever. And he kind of has guns and stuff, right?
Like, I have that figure of Agent Anti-Venom.
Oh, Agent Anti-Venom. Okay, so yeah. See, there you go. One,
I think he saves Agent Anti-Venom for a while. It doesn't really go back to normal Venom, Anti-Venom normal for a while.
But it was like, dang, everyone kind of gets in on the act. You know what I mean? Like with Flash, yeah. Let's go down to Nick's comment real quick. And he says, nope, the villains were anthro creatures called the Higher Revolutionaries. Ooh, which makes me think about High Evolutionary. So, interesting. Okay, Spider-Man Unlimited. I gotta look into that. That sounds like a really cool story. Would you want to check that one out?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds pretty neat.
Getting a trade.
Yeah, getting a trade on that for sure. He says here, go ahead. Did Flash ever learn Peter is Spider-Man?
In No Way Home, but then he forgets.
Oh, yeah. Sam Cal says in No Way Home, but then he forgets. That's regarding the movies. I don't think he does in any other version of the movies.
Oh.
I do think that he does either in the 90s cartoon or in one version of the comics he does. And what was always cool in the comics to me was that he loved Spider-Man. He was a big Spider-Man fan, but he was always like, man, Pete, like, you're a dork, whatever. Like, he always, you know, like, shitted on Pete, you know what I mean? But it was like, you know, he was just like, well, Spider-Man's the best. Like, he hated, like, all the stuff that J. Jonah Jameson would print in the Bugle, because he was like, no, man, Spider-Man's a hero. Like, he was a huge Spidey fan. Like, that was always cool to me, like, the irony of that, you know what I mean? Like, wow.
Remember I was telling about the Spectacular Spider-Man show? Mm-hmm. The one, like, okay, yeah, I think in that show, Flash knows.
Oh, really? Okay, mm-hmm. That's interesting. Cool. Let's check out Arlene's comment real quick. Let's see. You want to read it?
Yeah, sure.
Go ahead.
Does that mean the movie people will make Venom and Spider-Man cross over with Agent Venom? I remember the extra scene with Venom sitting behind in the Mixed Universe.
I don't know, Arlene. I think that that means that there's room for that to happen. I mean, like, you know, again, like CM Cal said, the actor Joe Manganiello is saying he would love to play Agent Venom.
It'll probably happen in between, like, Venom 3, Spider-Man 4, and Secret Wars, somewhere in between.
I would just love even, like, even if he just, they made a suit for him and he got to put it on and there was, like a brief cameo, that'd be so cool.
But which Flash?
I would go with Joe Manganiello.
The
one from the Toby series. Because he's like a fully fledged man now, like he's like, you know, like all grown up.
Yeah, I've seen
would
that.
You go with the Andrew one?
No, I don't like the Andrew one.
The Andrew Flash? Like you hate him as a character, or like he's really a jerk?
No, I just don't like him overall. They should have done chose a better actor.
I felt like he looked like Flash has blonde hair in the comics.
Yeah, so. I like how I wish that one of them would have had, That one had blonde hair, but I think the other one should have had blonde hair too. But even with the other hair, I think the Sam Raimi Flash looked cool too, even though he didn't have.
Oh no, definitely, and he was definitely a pretty good bully, you know.
I wouldn't choose Tom's Flash though.
Oh no, Tom's Flash is the worst Flash.
He's soft.
Yeah, he's so soft. Let's get to Nick's comment there. Flash pretended to be Spidey to save him from Venom. He's awesome. Hey, nice. Yeah, that's very cool. Very cool. It's like, you know, it's so funny because one of the scenes I love from Spider-Man 2, and I didn't talk to you about this, but I want to talk to you about this, is when Doc Ock comes to find out where Peter is, right? And he says, he has Jonah, and he's like, tell me about the, you know, who takes the pictures or whatever. He's like, I don't know. They get submitted anonymously. Like, he protects him.
In Spider-Man 2?
Is it Spider-Man 2? Yeah.
It's Spider-Man 1, Green Goblin, not Doc Ock.
Oh, that's right, that's right. But I love that scene, because even though he hates Spider-Man...
I think I saw a video explain that. Did I send that to you?
No. What does it say? Tell me.
Exactly what you said, that Jonah is protecting Spider-Man. I mean, Peter, because he knew who, like, did take the photos.
He knew who it was? Mm-hmm. I just love it. You know what I mean? Like, it's so... it's just one of those things that's just so cool, you know?
There's a theory thing that the Robbie knew who Peter was.
I believe that. The best Robbie Robertson is in this series, no doubt. He looks like him. He's great like he's great. He's smart in these Toby series. Did you like Robbie in these? I don't think he comes out in the other ones.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, and he is one of the best characters. And so, let me tell you, let's do a little Daily Bugle talk real quick.
I wish that...
No, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I wish that Tom had some involvement in the taking pictures.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's so hard to work in all the aspects of you know, Peter Parker's life. And I mean, into any, like, again, I feel like these Toby ones kind of focus on, like, you know, his friendship and his love life, which it does really well. You know, the
in the Andrew movies, they involved how Andrew takes photos for Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
very briefly, though.
Briefly, but they also, what they go back to is like some of his parents' stuff. So the other ones never really address that.
I like it,
yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, in the Tom ones, they really focus on like how intelligent he is. So it's kind of hard, again, to incorporate, because Spider-Man is such a big character. All the comes again, you know, the Betty Brant character. Betty Brant is featured prominently in these movies.
Which one is that?
Betty's the one that always pays his checks in these movies, the Toby ones.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, take this to the girl outside. Take this to the girl.
Mr. Jameson, take your blood pressure.
Yeah, exactly. Today she's like, and she's a great actress. And in the comics, you know, Pete and her have a little something, whatever, because he's on and off with these. But again, the comics have so much time to tell these stories, and there's not always all this time in the movies. And they've never even touched in any of the movies on the Felicia Hardy character, the Black Cat, because she's fantastic. And that's another layer and element of Pete's life. So, real quick, my Daily Bugle talk. So, you got J. Jonah Jameson is the editor-in-chief. Then you got Robbie Robertson, who's like the second-in-command. Peter Parker is like known as the photographer. The freelance photographer. But the guy that's always known as the writer for the is a writer called Ben Urich. And if you watch the Daredevil show, they show Ben Urich quite a bit. Like, Ben Urich is featured prominently in the Daredevil show. But again, it's New York, so it's like one city. And the Daily Bugle is like the big paper, so it's like kind of cool to, like, you know, when you put those pieces together and you're like, hey, that's where it goes. Let's get to Nick's comment real quick. I like this. Right before I get to...
Daredevil's the MCU, right?
Yes, yeah. But now it's all MCU, right? Because his Tom's lawyer is Matt Murdock. Remember? No Way Home?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Nick says, Toby's my Spider-Man. I love that, Nick. There's nothing wrong with that. It's really hard for me to choose, especially after No Way Home. And especially this guy's love for the Andrew Garfield one has made me re-look at those movies and be like, dang, I really think I do love Andrew Garfield too. And especially in No Way Home, it's so hard to choose after seeing that movie. Let's take this one down real quick. CM. Okay, guys, I want to wrap it up. I feel like you're getting a little bit tired, so let's wrap this one up. But before we do, before we go, I want to talk about a topic, and I want anyone out here still listening with us, Hannah, to weigh in on this and tell me what you think. Should there have been, and I'm going to follow up with another question after this, should there have been a Spider-Man 4 from Raimi and Tobey? And if so, what would you do in it? You think, no, there shouldn't have been? It ended good?
I think it ended good. I know they planned to make one in 2011.
They did. I didn't know that. What did
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, Sony made a post about it on X.
Really? And what did they say?
You probably go back and find it. Said it was going to be back in theaters. Spider-Man 4 is going to be on, like, February something.
Okay.
What did you say?
No, they made a post, but, like, they were planning on it, but then what happened? Like, Spider-Man 3 did bad and they didn't make it?
I don't know why they didn't end up finishing it, mm-hmm. but I don't think they should have done it because... I think it was enough to end right there. It would have been cool to see, like, the rest of, like, She, Electro, and Scorpion.
Is that what they were going to do?
No. No, I would, I think I want to choose my answer. I would say yes, but then I would feel like each one would have to have four movies.
Okay, okay. Okay, so let me ask you this. If you were in charge, and after having right now, you just saw Spider-Man 3 again in theaters, And your job is to make a part 4 of Spider-Man with Raimi and Toby. What do you do with it? What would be the things you wanted to do?
I would introduce the Black Cat.
Okay.
I definitely want to do Mysterio, Scorpion, Electro, and Shocker.
Ooh, you're almost going Sinister Six right there.
Well, I was. And okay. Then the Lizard, and I want to bring... Did I say Doc Ock?
No.
I want to get...
You can't bring back Doc Ock because he's dead.
I know, I wasn't...
But I like where you're going with Lizard because we've been seeing Kurt Connors in these movies. So you could bring Dr. Connors in as the Lizard.
And I want to see maybe somebody else has Venom.
Okay, so you have the symbiote not destroyed, per se.
No, remember...
Oh!
Still has that sample.
That's right, that's right.
And okay. In the comics, if that little piece attaches to anybody... The cells in the symbiote can grow back to full size.
Really? Do they show that at the end?
No.
So how do we know? We just know that Connors has it? Because from what we saw earlier?
Well, he never gives it back.
That's right.
Just kept it for more research and stuff.
Interesting. Okay, so you put Venom in the Sinister Six. I love what you're doing with it, but instead of Venom, I think I'd bring in Kraven. So you said you wanted to see Lizard, Shocker, Electro.
Except I would give Venom a different Eddie. No, not a different Eddie. A different host that was like more...
Oh, like... how about this? That little piece Dr. Connor says gets onto Flash.
I don't think... But what would happen then?
I don't know, but he would just be like the new Venom. Like Flash would be the Venom.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd be like, Pete stole my girl. I was with MJ in high school. That piece of trash.
Yeah, we could do that. That'd be cool. What about you?
Okay, so what I would do, because I was kind of thinking about this when I was watching, and I was like, man, I really wish. And, you know, after No Way Home, all this talk came out about, we want a Spider-Man 4, we want a Spider-Man 4 with Raimi and Toby. Okay, you're not going to like it. So I introduce the Hobgoblin. Okay. Gets a hold of glider tech, right? I don't know who I have be the Hobgoblin.
I know what you're gonna do later.
What?
You're gonna make. You're gonna let Peter give the Mr. Dinkovich's daughter.
That Ursula?
Yeah.
No. I'm gonna do even worse. You know, I'm gonna think about it right now.
Even worse, but then why would you choose that?
I have Flash gets a hold of glider tech. He's mad at MJ because she ended up with Pete.
I don't think. Yeah.
Hobgoblin, who's Flash, throws MJ off the bridge. She breaks her neck and dies while he's suffering.
Who's suffering?
Peter, because of MJ's death.
Okay,
from her death.
Yeah.
Gwen comes back into the picture, Gwen Stacy, from Spider-Man 3, and comforts her, and he says, I'm sorry that I danced on the piano and all that, and at the piano bar with MJ. They fall in love, have a baby, and then they name her Mayday, and then somehow she gets Spider-Gwen powers. Boom, there you go. Spider-Man 4. Alright? Can we get someone call Sony? Somebody tag Sony in this. Tag Sony in this. Let's read Nick's comment there. Go ahead.
I would go a totally different route with that.
Yeah. Oh, got it.
It's a bit extra.
Keep your thoughts in your mind while I read this. Nick says, Andrew Spider-Man is cool. I love him in his relationship with Aunt May and Tom. I like his version too, but something just feels missing for me. Really like him and like the other two. Right? I totally get you, Nick. Definitely. You know, me and CM Cal here, we had this kind of conversation at first because, man, you know, just after Civil War, I just fell so in love with the Tom Holland Spider-Man. I was like, wow, they really, like, got, like, this, like, young-looking guy. He feels like a kid again. Because I always felt like, you know, like, Toby kind of was, like, became, like, a man really quickly. You know, which he would. And then, you know, Andrew Garfield, it was just, like, I think that really I just felt like the weakness of the second movie with the second villain, with Electro. I was like, man, like, what a... not a good usage of Jamie Foxx. And mind you, those have grown on me. They have definitely grown on me. But I felt like, well, you know what I mean? Like, there could have been, you know, they weren't for me. So after seeing all the Spider-Man ones, I was like, wow, these are really good. I mean, the Tom Holland ones. So I was like, man, I think Tom might be my guy. You know what I mean? But again, I'm going through a rewatch right now in theaters, and it's definitely mixing my feelings. You know what I mean? Because I'm loving seeing Toby again, so much so that I want to write Spider-Man 4. You know what I mean? For Sam Raimi to direct.
Maybe send a script or something.
Well, let's say you said you had some other thoughts. You had more thoughts about Spider-Man 4? Toby and Raimi. You have some more thoughts about what you would do? You were saying you'd go a different direction with you don't like my Flash becomes Hobgoblin and kills MJ?
No, it's a bit... No, I'd rather... I'd do something different.
Because I'm done with Kirsten Dunst, all right? I'm done with her, right? Like, I
first,
did not...
I would create a list of all the characters. Mm-hmm. Cross out who's dead. Oh, and then what I can do with each character.
Well, that's good research.
Also, what I like from each character.
Yeah. You know what? In No Way Home, he talks about that him and MJ are still together, right?
He
says they're working on it, right? Something like that. Yeah. So, there's no MJ Andrew's universe. When they all talk about that. So, you almost get the feeling of, though, like, to me, Tobey Maguire is almost like the Peter B. Parker, right? Like, he's got the family and stuff that are, you know, probably going on in his universe by that time, you know? So, he's almost close to that, in my opinion. But I would love to see it. Like CM Cal said, if that one gets one, then they all need to get one. So, that means that the Andrew Garfield would get two more because it only got two. So, we'd have to do a 3 and a 4. And, I mean, Tom Holland's already at, what, 3?
Mm-hmm. No, yes.
But he did come out in Civil War, and he did come out in Infinity War and Endgame. So really, he's been Spider-Man 6 times. Mm-hmm. So I would say we catch up Toby and Andrew.
Wasn't he also the voice of the one in What If?
No, he wasn't the voice. No,
but it's supposed to be the...
Yeah, it's supposed to be him. But he's one of the ones that didn't... The main voices that didn't come back were like Cap, Iron Man, Black Widow...
Everybody else did?
And Tom Holland, yeah. Yeah, so Robert Downey Jr. didn't come back as Iron Man. Chris Evans didn't come back as Cap. Scarlett Johansson didn't come back as Black Widow. And Tom Holland didn't do the Spider-Man voice for What If. But Chris Hemsworth does. He does the voice of Thor. Yeah. And Benedict Cumberbatch does the voice of Dr. Strange. Happy is the voice. Yeah. Jon Favreau, who also directed Iron Man. Yeah, Happy's great. He's a great choice. Okay, guys. That's the last comment there. Take that one down. See him, Cal. I feel like we had a good conversation.
That's good.
What do you think? Anything else? Any other thoughts on Spider-Man 4? Toby and Raimi?
No, I want to do some more research on what I would do.
Okay. Will we go sit in the car? Will we go sit in the... You know, it's coming soon. The Sam Raimi car is coming here to San Antonio. I think we need to sit in there and have a conversation that could be like, with great power.
No, there's supposed to be... I gotta tell you that.
Comes great responsibility.
No, it's supposed to be fuel, but being on the window. Probably gonna shoot through the window like that guy did for... He's like, get out of the car, it's my turn.
Wow. Okay, well, guys, I have had a great time rewatching the Toby trilogy, the Toby Raimi trilogy in theaters, especially alongside the number one Spider-Man fan in this house, CM Cowell. CM Cowell, what are your final thoughts on what we've seen thus far of the re-releases of Spider-Man in theaters?
It was good. I like it. I'm excited for No Way Home.
Yeah, we're getting ready to get to your favorite Spider-Man, right? Hmm? We're getting ready to get to your favorite Spider-Man, though, right?
Monday.
With The Amazing Spider-Man, right? On Monday. On Monday coming up.
I like The Amazing Spider-Man 1 more than The Amazing Spider-Man 2, but I like The Amazing Spider-Man 2 more suit better than the first suit.
Okay. I can agree with that. I can agree with that.
Like, The Amazing Spider-Man 1 would have been like a 10 out of 10 if he had the 2002 suit in 2001.
You mean you don't like those yellow eyes?
I do like it. I just prefer the second one. Those horrible yellow eyes.
Those horrible yellow eyes. CM Cowell, it's been great having you on Just Another Friday Night again. Always enjoy it. Right hand, remember? Right hand. Right, you gotta shake with the right hand. And firm grip. Let me see firm. There you go. That exactly like that's how you shake, you guys. All right, guys. Something we like to say at the end of every show to remind all of you, not only with great power must come great responsibility, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there are, and anything else you want to plug before I let you, before I end this out here? CM Cowell?
New comments.
What? Oh, no, I'll get to it very quick. Go ahead. Let's see here. Let's see. Oh, Matt says, Sam Raimi for the win. Crimp it firmly, Arlene says. Hello. And then real quick, guys, if you want to give CM Cowell a follow on TikTok.
Oh, that's not my name anymore.
Oh, shoot. Sorry. Am I the wrong one? Sorry. Wrong one, guys. Wrong one. Here it is. Follow CM Cowell at CM 13 The Collector on TikTok. His videos are a lot of fun. He just made a really great stop motion of Spider-Man dunking the basketball.
I didn't post it.
But are you going to post it?
Probably.
Okay. It's really, really cool. If you guys like stop motion and you like figures, he does some really great work. And I'm not just biased because he's my nephew and my godson. I really do enjoy it. And if you guys know Zach Daddy, the Ox Father from Collecting Weekly, he is also a follower of CM Cowell and is a fan. So I'm not just speaking for myself here. Anything though, also that you want to plug or tell people to check out?
I'm good.
You ready for May the 4th tomorrow? Guys, may the 4th be with you. And something else we like to say at the end of every show, guys, we like to remind you all, if there is something that you want to do, something that you want to accomplish, a hope, a dream, go out and do it. Don't waste any time. There is no time like the present. Seize the day, guys. Carpe diem. And the other thing that we like to say, AA and I and all the Just Another Friday Night family here, we like to say, to remind you, as the great Captain Steve Rogers says in Endgame, when he reminds the Avengers as they go back on the time heist, that they must do whatever it takes. So, guys, seize the day. Do whatever it takes. And before I end us out here, let's get these last comments, CM Cowell. We don't want to leave you guys out. We appreciate you guys joining us and joining the conversation with us. Matt says, stop motion. A lot of work, but a lot of potential. Keep it up.
Thank you.
Arlene says, CM is the coolest kid there was. I like that.
Thank you. Mini kudos.
Matt says, may the swarsh be with you. Great Spaceballs reference.
Nickname.
Kudos, absolutely. And then right here, Toy Mafia saying goodnight right there. So guys, for Just Another Friday Night, I have been CM Chuck.
I've been CM Cal.
And it has been a pleasure for us to talk Spider-Man with you. Hopefully, we'll be back to talk about the Andrew Garfield versions, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. You be safe. Take care of each other. May the 4th be with you. And good night.
Good night.
I hit it again.
Oh.
That's okay.